So I was doing my university year two exams a couple weeks ago, or actually a month ago. And as I was preparing for them, I unfortunately left the preparation a little bit too late. And it meant that I had an extremely short amount of time to get everything done, all the preparation done, in time for these exams. And I remember one evening I prayed. I think this might have been the evening before one of the academic interviews that I had to do. And I prayed to God and I said, okay, Lord, I have done all that I can do. I know that there is no more that I can do because I don't have enough time. And when I was reflecting on this situation and just this time with God and this prayer, it got me thinking, what happens when you reach the end of yourself? Because in life, there seems to be this reality that there are some situations that we cannot fix. You know, we cannot understand, we cannot carry, and we cannot solve. And Mark chapter 9, verse 14, introduces us to a scene filled with people who have arrived at exactly that place. And so in Mark chapter 9, verse 14, we read that Jesus, Peter, James, and John have just come down the mountain that Jesus transfigured on, and they are now joining the rest of the disciples to continue Jesus' ministry through Galilee. But as they near the disciples, Jesus sees a great crowd gathered around these disciples, and he sees some scribes arguing with them. And as he approaches, the crowd see him, and they are overcome with awe, and they rush forward to Jesus. But Jesus asks the scribes, what are you arguing with them about? What are you arguing with the disciples about? But before the scribes could answer, someone from the crowd emerges, and he says to Jesus, teacher, I brought you my son. He has a spirit that makes him unable to speak, and whenever it seizes him, it dashes him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth, and he becomes rigid. And the man points to the disciples, and he says, I asked your disciples to cast it out, but they could not. And Jesus looks to the crowd and scribes, and he says, you faithless generation, how much longer must I be with you? How much longer must I put up with you? He rebukes their spiritual blindness, and he highlights the crowd and scribes' doubt and lack of understanding of who he is. And it seems that the disciples cannot help this man. The scribes cannot help this man, and the crowd cannot help this man. So Jesus tells them to bring the boy to me. And the boy is brought to Jesus. And I don't know, maybe he stood there very weak, very thin, probably barely able to keep himself upright, dependent on his father for protection and care. And in first century Jewish society, he would have been feared, avoided, and excluded. And when the spirit in the boy saw Jesus, immediately it convulsed this boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. But in this moment, Jesus turns his focus to the Father, the man who stepped out from the crowd. The man whose problem sparked the events that began the argument between the disciples and the scribes. And Jesus asks him, how long has this been happening to him? What Jesus does is he gives the Father space to open up. And the father says, from childhood, it is often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. Can you imagine the years of suffering that this father has had, that this family has had, that this son, this boy, has endured? And the father has probably been searching and searching, looking for answers, looking for solutions. And when he finally finds this group of people, these followers of Jesus Christ, this man who heals, they couldn't. And it feels like he's out of options. But the father says, I mean, if you're able to do anything, help us. Have compassion on us. But Jesus does not heal the boy yet. Jesus responds, if you're able, all things can be done for the one who believes. And immediately the father cried out, the father of this child, of this boy, cried out, I believe. Help my unbelief. The father becomes a believer, not when he has a sufficient amount of faith, but when he risks everything on the little faith that he does have, when he acknowledges his insufficiency and his lack of options. I believe, but help my unbelief. The father has reached the end of himself in this time. Now, what will Jesus do? As the crowds begin to grow, Jesus sees this happening and he rebukes the unclean spirit before more can witness. And Jesus says, you spirit who keeps this boy from speaking and hearing, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And when Jesus commands the spirit to come out, the spirit, after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out and the boy was like a corpse. So that most of them said, he is dead. I can just imagine in this crowd, there's like a wave of silence. And people are looking around and possibly thinking, oh, did they fail again? Were they unable to heal this boy again? But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up. Life can feel like that sometimes. There are moments when, you know, an intervention, change, a confrontation with truth, or a process of healing initially feels more like a collapse. And then restoration. The old condition ending, but the new one has not yet appeared. The crowd's conclusion, he is dead, has come too soon. Because even when things appear irretrievably worse, God is capable of bringing life from there. When Jesus and the disciples had entered the house, his disciples asked Jesus privately, why couldn't we cast it out? And it's interesting to note that in Mark's gospel, private gatherings in houses are typically settings of further instruction for the benefit of the disciples. And we see here that Jesus does give further instruction. Or maybe more of a reminder to the disciples. And Jesus says to them, "This kind can come out only through prayer." The problem was not that the disciples lacked authority. Jesus had already given them authority. The problem was that they had begun to act as though the authority belonged to them. And Jesus, he calls the disciples to do tasks beyond their abilities. And this means their abilities are evidence that the ministry is Christ's and not theirs. And Jesus' reply to them may seem simple, but it's extremely profound. Because prayer is the acknowledgement that we are dependent upon God. Prayer turns our attention away from our own abilities and back toward the one from whom all power comes. One of the dangers in the Christian life is that yesterday's victories can become today's assumptions. We begin to rely on our own experiences, our knowledge, our habits, our reputation, our past success, rather than on God himself. You see, the disciples had cast out spirits before, and perhaps they expected this time to be no different. Yet Jesus reminds them that the work of God's kingdom is never something that we graduate into managing on our own. It remains dependent upon God from beginning to end. But what do all of these people in this story have in common? What do the Father, the disciples, the crowd, and this boy all have in common? Everyone seems to have been confronted with their limitations. The father reaches the end of his faith, and he brings to Jesus his unbelief. The disciples reach the end of their ability, and they ask Jesus, "Why couldn't we?" The crowd reaches the end of their understanding and claims the boy must be dead. And the boy had already reached the end of his strength. And it is precisely there that Jesus acts. When the father's faith is weak, Jesus is sufficient. When the disciples fail, Jesus is sufficient. When the crowd misunderstands, Jesus is sufficient. And when the boy is helpless, Jesus is sufficient. And perhaps that is why Jesus tells his disciples that this kind can come out only through prayer. Because it is the recognition that we're not enough, but God is. The Father learns it. The disciples learn it. The crowds need to learn it. And we need to learn it. Because the Christian life is not lived by self-reliance, but by the dependence upon Christ. But one thing that I just couldn't quite understand with this story is, why does Mark tell this miracle immediately after the transfiguration and alongside Jesus' predictions of his death? You see, the deepest meaning of this miracle is not just simply that Jesus can cast out spirits. The crowds already know that Jesus can perform miracles. They've seen this before. But the deeper question throughout Mark's gospel is, who is Jesus? The crowd sees a powerful miracle worker. They see a man with authority over evil spirits. and they are right, but they do not see the whole picture. The Jesus who stands before this spirit and commands it to leave is the same Jesus who will soon speak about his own suffering and death. The Jesus who takes this boy by the hand and raises him up is the same Jesus who will then be handed over, crucified, and laid in a tomb. The crowd looked at this boy and said, "He's dead." But their conclusion came too soon. And later in the gospel, people will look at Jesus hanging on a cross and laid in a tomb. And once again, the conclusion seems obvious. But once again, it will come too soon. And that is why the Father can bring his unbelief to Jesus. That is why the disciples must depend on Jesus in prayer. And that is why we do not trust our own strength. Because the one who raises this boy is the one who will conquer death itself. Human resources fail. Human understanding fails. And human strength fails. But Jesus does not. Mark's answer is, Jesus is the one who can do what no one else can do. He is the Son of God, whose authority is ultimately revealed not only in miracles, but in his death and his resurrection. And perhaps the reason that Mark tells this story is because all of us eventually find ourselves in one of those places. We reach the end of our faith. We reach the end of our strength. We reach the end of our understanding. We reach the end of our abilities. And when you find yourself where the Father was, where the disciples were, where the crowd was, at the limit of what you can do, what you know, what you understand, remember that this story is ultimately not about the sufficiency of the Father's faith, or the disciples' ministry, or the crowd's perception. It is about the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. So then back to my question at the beginning. What happens when you reach the end of yourself? Well, maybe one of the reasons is that you discover what the Father discovered, what the disciples discovered, and what the crowd needed to discover. That our sufficiency is not the end of the story, because Jesus Christ is sufficient. Amen. Thank you.